Bibles, please, to John chapter 1. Message is from pretty much the same passage as last week. Last week, the title was Jesus is God. This week, the title is I'm Dreaming of a Right Christmas. Oftentimes, we hear the song I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, and I guess those are okay if you like the stuff. I'd just soon have a nice sunny day myself. But we certainly want to have a right Christmas, don't we? Because the world just doesn't seem to understand the real meaning of Christmas. And people are rushing around and they're pushed for time. And some people are spending money for people they don't like, for things that they don't need with money that they don't have. You know, they're just going around and just got the whole wrong meaning of Christmas there. And so we want to focus on a right Christmas this morning. And a right Christmas remembers the biblical teachings of why Christ came to earth there. And last week we saw the Gospels and how they present Jesus, and I'll just put it up briefly for you in case you weren't here. Matthew presents Jesus as king, and so the book of Matthew begins with a genealogy. Mark presents him as a servant, so it begins with his public ministry of serving. Luke presents Jesus as a man, and there we have the description of his birth, and that's what we will read next Sunday evening during our music service. And John presents Jesus as God, and so it begins with eternity. In the beginning was the Word, and there's no genealogy because God has no beginning. And so as we look at the Scriptures, we see God revealing himself to man. So we're going to see that God revealed himself to man in four ways. And this is part of the introduction. Let's pray, and then we'll look at some of the verses from John chapter 1. Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us. And we read in the book of Revelation that there will be another revelation, another revealing of Christ. But when he comes again, it will be so much different than it was on his first coming to earth. And so we thank you for the Word of God, and for all that you show us to reveal yourself to us. We thank you for the baby Jesus. We thank you for the Christ of the cross. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of salvation. Speak to our hearts through your word this morning as we consider this topic of having a right Christmas. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. We see, first of all, in the book of Genesis that God reveals himself to us in creation. And we see all that he's done, and we see the power of God in creation. And he certainly is so much greater than we are. There's really no comparison of his greatness to our greatness. And so we see that the heavens declare the glory of God. God shows forth his glory through all of his creation. But God continues to reveal himself to man, and he does that through his word. And God gave to Moses the law. And we read in the scriptures that we cannot keep the law. There's no way. But God revealed himself to us in the word. And in revealing the law to us, he shows that he's against us. The Bible says if we have broken the law in any one point, then we're guilty of breaking the whole thing. And so because we are sinful and we've broken God's law, he's against us. But then God sent the prophets along, and the prophets began to proclaim to us God's plan and God's will and how much God loves us and God cares for us. And so even though the law is against us, God himself is not. He is for us. And the prophets came and they showed that. But then we see here at Christmas time that God has revealed himself to us through his Son. And this reveals his love to us and that God is with us. And so the word Emmanuel, God is with us. And the writer of Hebrews begins to the book of Hebrews with these three verses. God, who at sundry or various times and in diverse manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as we saw just a moment ago. He has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the Lord Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, that is Jesus, is the brightness of the glory of God. Jesus is the express image of his person. Jesus is that stamped image of God the Father, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And so we see God has now revealed himself to us through his Son. God has spoken through his Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And so as God has come and revealed himself to us, and we think about the story of Christmas, we certainly want to have a right Christmas as we look at how God reveals himself to us. We're going to look at some of the same verses that we looked at last week. We look at the word Emmanuel before we do that. Elohim is the Hebrew word for God. And oftentimes we will see the word Elohim. Their shortened form is EL. And so when you see names in the scripture like Israel, the Prince of God, Daniel, God is my judge, Ezekiel, God strengthens, Joel, the Lord is God. And we know the Hebrew word for Lord is usually Jehovah or Yahweh is the Hebrew word. And so the word Joel, the Lord, Jehovah, is God there. And so we see this EL oftentimes. And so when we come to the Christmas story and we see his name is called Emmanuel, it means that Elohim, the God of creation, the God who revealed himself in creation, the God who revealed himself in his word, the God who revealed himself in his prophets, has revealed himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, with us, God, or God with us. So prior to his birth, in the beginning, we see in John chapter 1, here he is with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And here they were having fellowship together in eternity past. And God sent his prophets to tell us that God wants that same communion with us
that he was having with his son. Isn't that, it's just hard to imagine, why would God of creation want to fellowship with me? But he does. He wants to have communion with us. And we see also that prior to his birth, Jesus was in heaven creating the world. The world was made by him. Colossians 1:17 says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." And so Jesus is creator because Jesus is God. It's God in the flesh, Emmanuel. And oftentimes we see at Christmas time movies about miracles. Sometimes they'll talk about the power of Christmas, or even use the word the magic of Christmas, whether it's a Hallmark movie or some of the other movies. There are thousands of them out there, aren't there? They're about the Christmas magic. But the power of Christmas is the power of God the Father, who became flesh and dwelt among us there. But we also see prior to his birth was a Christophany. The word theophany, theos, of course, is the word for God, the Greek word, a Latin word, theos, for God. And so here, this is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. And God appeared, remember, to Moses there in the burning bush. Remember how God appeared to Joshua as the captain of the Lord's host? Well, now God has appeared to man in the flesh. He has taken on human form, yet without sin that we have, and he has appeared to us today. And God has revealed himself to us through his Son. Well, the foreshadowing or the forerunner of his birth, portent to keep the alliteration going here. Notice the miracle from the womb there. In verse 6, it tells us there was a man sent from God, and his name was John. And we won't take the time to go into the birth of John the Baptist, but remember how Zacharias and Elizabeth were elderly. They had prayed for a child, and the angel came and said, "Zacharias, you and Elizabeth are going to have a baby." And he says, "We're way too old for that." And it was a miracle of God. And remember, he was dumb for a while until John was born, and he wrote, "His name shall be called John." It was a miraculous thing. From the womb, God sent John the Baptist. But not only was he a miracle from the womb, but he was a messenger to the world. In verse 7, it says, "The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light." John the Baptist says, "I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness." He said, "I'm not worthy to even reach down and unloose his sandals, the latchet of his shoes there." Remember when John the Baptist says, "He must increase and I must decrease here." He was a messenger to the world, and likewise, so should we be. We are witnesses to the light. We are lights that shine for the glory of God. There are different kinds of lights, aren't there? I mean, you have your chandeliers, you had your floodlights and your spotlights and all kinds of different lights that are used for different purposes, but they all have one thing in common, and that is to dispel darkness. Well, God has called each one of us to be a light wherever we are. And God has given to us different gifts and abilities, and we all don't have the same specific purpose as the difference between a chandelier bulb and a floodlight might have. Different. But God wants every one of us to be a light wherever he has placed us for the glory of God, even as the messenger John the Baptist was sent to be a messenger to the world. But let's look at some of the particulars of his birth. In verse 10, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." And think about the as he was in the world, the city where he was born. From Micah 5:2, it says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And so the prophecy in Micah says that this child is going to come and be born, but he has always been. His goings forth are from old, from everlasting. So when Jesus came to earth, it wasn't his beginning. It was the beginning of him as a human, but it wasn't a beginning for him because he's always been. He was born there in the city of Bethlehem. What about his conception? We read in Isaiah 7:14. It says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Of course, which means God with us. And we know from human understanding and human power to have this conception within a virgin is impossible. But the God we serve is a powerful God. He created the universe, and he's certainly able to have his son, the Lord Jesus, come through Mary, the Virgin Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 35 continues this thought from Isaiah 7:14. "The angel answered and said to Mary, 'The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God.'" And so the Holy Spirit came and indwelt Mary. Now we know that we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but it was a different kind of indwelling there for Mary. And Jesus was born of the Virgin. Well, another particular we learn about the Lord at Christmas time is about his crib. It says that he was laid in a manger there in a stable, a trough for feeding the animals there. We usually see them wooden, but probably it was more a stone there whenever he was laid there in the manger. And you think about being born in a stable, that's the filthiness, the dirtiness of a stable. Kind of pictures our heart, doesn't it? Where Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And yet here he is born in a stable, which doesn't seem appropriate for a king. A king is not born in a stable. But remember when he came the first time, he did not come as a king. He came, remember John the Baptist, who was to be the forerunner of Jesus. Remember what he said when he saw Jesus coming, "Behold the Lamb of God." And though the stable may not have been appropriate for a king, it was certainly appropriate for a lamb to be born, and Jesus is the Lamb of God. And that's why he came the first time, to be the sacrifice for our sins there. Well, we also see another particular about him, and that's the child. In Isaiah 9:6, a wonderful verse that we often see at Christmas times, it says, "For unto us a child is born." And this child is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this shows the humanity of Christ here. And God sent Jesus to earth to die on the cross. But yet, that took 33 years. And during that 33 years, when God sent his son to Bethlehem, God didn't seem to be in a hurry, did he? I mentioned earlier, oftentimes at Christmas, we get in a very big hurry. But God's not in a hurry. And so his timing is perfect. He sent Jesus to earth, and God had to wait 33 years. Now, he's eternal, so 33 years to him probably doesn't seem like nearly as long as it seems to us. But the point is that God's never in a hurry. He had a plan, and he was going to carry forth that plan, and it was going to take, from the human standpoint, 33 years. And God has plans and purposes for us as well. And sometimes we get in a hurry, we can get ahead of God. But God never gets in a hurry, he's never late, and he has a plan. And Christ was born, the Lord Jesus, as a human. But Isaiah 9:6 goes on to say, "Unto us a child is born, unto us The Son is given. And this is not just repetition or stating it in a different way, but it is showing both the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. The child, the baby, the human was born, but the eternal Son of God, he was given. God gave his Son to the world. God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten Son. And then another particular that we'll not spend time on is the child's mother, Mary. Mary was certainly honored when the angel came and said, "Blessed art thou among women." Did not say, "Blessed art thou above women," but among women. God chose Mary. Mary was not sinless. Mary needed a salvation, and she had accepted Christ as her own Savior there. But she was honored by the Lord. She was very humble as well. In her song of praise, she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And she gave God to glory. And in Luke chapter 1, she says that God has done to me great things. And as she gave her song of praise, she recognized that it was a personal thing that God had done for her. And likewise, when God sent his Son to the earth, he did it for each one of us individually and personally, but we must personally receive Christ as Savior. Well, we go on as we see not only the particulars about his birth, we see the people of his birth. In verse 11, it says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And we know that his own were the Jews. As he met with the woman at the well, she said, "Why are you, a Jew, speaking to me, a Samaritan?" So it was obvious to her that he was a Jew, and Jesus came to earth as a Jew from the human race aspect of it there. And it tells us in verse 11, when he came into his own people, the Jews, they rejected him. His own received him not. And remember, they even cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him," there. And God sent the prophets from old to Israel. God had given them the law. God had communicated to them how he cared for them and loved them. And yet all of that time, they continued to reject him. But not everyone rejected him. Some of them received him, verse 12. It says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the authority, the power, the right to become the sons of God," children of God, not sons of God in the same sense that Christ is the only begotten Son of God, but we have the privilege of being children of God. And so God has revealed himself in many ways through creation and through his word and through his prophets. But in these last days, he's revealed himself to us through his Son there. And anyone, it doesn't give a number here of how many were saved, but it says as many as received him there. And anyone can receive him. It doesn't matter. It's not going to say, no, his church is full. He's not going to accept any more. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we know that his birth is not what saves us. He was born of a virgin, but yet he was on his way to Calvary to die there, and his death and burial and resurrection, the gospel we read in 1 Corinthians 15. Well, his birth was miraculous. Verse 14, we saw some of this last week. And verse 15, John said, "And I bear witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake." So here is John. He was sent to be a witness and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Remember that God was always existing. Jesus was in heaven communing with God. Jesus was in heaven creating the universe with God. And now we see
the incarnation. The Word was made flesh. So Christmas is not just about the birth of a baby, but it's a wonderful story. But it's about the incarnation of God. Verse 14 continues to say, not only was the Word made flesh, but He lived among us. And so here was the world that God made, and here are the people that God created, and God came to live among a sinful group of people here. And He now lives within us. Those of us who have been saved, we have the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, living within us. But verse 14 goes on to say, not only about the incarnation and the inhabitation, but what I've called the interrelation. One little word there, and, in verse 14. But notice through the first 14 verses, and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. Verse 4, in Him was life, and life was the light of men. Verse 5, and the light shines, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Verse 11, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. And that conjunction, it continues from the very first verse, over and over, 12 or 13 times, we see the word and there. And we come to verse 14, and it says, and that God who was always existent in heaven, He came to earth, and He dwelt among us there. It's connecting Christ the Word, verse 1, and Christ the flesh, in verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. Now we come to John's proclamation. These are verses that we did not see last week as we were looking at Jesus being God. And we see that John was sent to tell about Christ. In verse 15, he says, this is He. This is the one here, the ratification of his prediction. He said, I told you that He was coming, and this is the one. Remember that John the Baptist was a cousin there, and he comes, and he was older than Jesus, but he comes to show reverence. He was about 6 months older than Jesus, and he says in verse 15 that he is preferred before me there. As I said earlier, John the Baptist says, he must increase, and I must decrease. And John, as they saw the miraculous birth of John, people were amazed at John the Baptist there. And he wanted to make sure that he didn't get the glory, that Christ received all the glory. And so we are to be lights, but we shouldn't be drawing attention to ourselves as the light, but our light should be like a spotlight that is pointing towards Christ. And so that's why the Bible says, let your good works be seen among men, that they may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. So he's showing the reverence for Christ, but also the redemption. In verse 16, it says, and of his fullness, of Christ's fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. Grace came by Jesus Christ. The only way we can have God's grace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he finishes this with the revelation. And we have the book of Revelation, of course, at the end of the New Testament. But this wonderful revelation that John shares with us about Christ and his revelation. The book of Revelation in the Bible is not the revelation of John. John wrote it, but it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so in verse 18, he says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, that's Jesus, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Jesus declared who the Father is. And that word declared means to bring Him out. And so here's God, invisible in heaven, and He wanted to make Himself known to man. He had revealed Himself in creation. He had revealed Himself through His Word. He had revealed Himself through the prophets,
And now he really wanted to reveal himself to his people, and he chose to come to earth as one of us. He took on flesh, yet without sin. And so when we think about the first Christmas, we think about not just the birth of a baby, but God revealing himself. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus declared God to us. And at Christmas time, how many times have people, as they're looking around trying to buy gifts, they say, I want to find the perfect gift. And we work so hard to get the perfect gift for the one we love. And there's one perfect gift, isn't there? The gift of God is the perfect Son of God. And as he came to earth, he came to bring out God, to declare him who he is. And God himself is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that baby that was born and died for us. May the Lord help us that we also would declare him to others as John the Baptist's purpose in life was to be a light, to declare him. May God help us during the Christmas season specifically to declare the true meaning of why Jesus came. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God, you don't want anyone to perish and spend eternity in hell. And so you continue to reveal yourself in many different ways, Hebrews tells us. But in the last days, you chose to reveal yourself through your Son. And we thank you for sending your Son to earth for us. Thank you for the joy of Christmas, for the joy of being your child. Thank you for the peace that we speak of at Christmas and the peace that we have as being your child. And Lord, we know that there's no greater joy. We sang about joy earlier, and we thank you for all that you've done for us and becoming flesh to go to the cross and die for us there, so that we can have communion with you for eternity. And Lord, you desire to fellowship with us. And so help us that we might walk a path that is honoring and pleasing to you as we fellowship with you on earth. And we look forward to eternal communion with you in glory. For us in Christ's name we pray.